Turn in your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning. It's John 8, 48 through 59. I'm reading from the New American Standard. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple.
I don't remember who it was, but I read of a secular professor couple decades ago who made the statement that many other people have made, but probably a secular professor would not be allowed to make this statement today. And the statement was, and it's true, in reality, there is only one race of people. It is the human race. Everybody that is human goes to bed at night or sometime and gets some sleep. Everybody that's human feeds themselves so they can survive. They drink so they can survive. Everybody puts their clothes on pretty much the same way, albeit the clothes might be different in some situations, but, you know, we have to go through a period of being taught, and so there is one human race. That's true. Now, there are a lot of different nationalities. There's a lot of distinctions among people groups, but it's all one race of people. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he went to the cross, the scriptures don't tell us that he died just for the Jews, or that he died just for the Gentiles, or that he died just for the Samaritans, or that he died for whites and blacks, or Asian, that he just picked certain ones. No. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whoever. It didn't categorize by a group. Whoever comes to Jesus can receive the gospel and salvation. Now, the reason I open with this had nothing to do with this Reconciliation Sunday thing, because I didn't even know about it. I don't even care about it. But what I do care about is that Jesus is lifted up to save all people. That's where it's at. Now, the reason that I did start off this way is because we see Jesus is accused. I'm going to point out four things. Accusation, he gives assurance, he gives his answer, and we see the Pharisees' angered response. So look here as we start in verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Now, I thought this was really interesting, that before they said he had a demon, but look what they're doing now. They're trying to make it into some kind of thing to be a racial slur on him, because hey, they hated the Samaritans. You see, the Samaritans, they were the product of parents who were interrelated of Gentiles and Jews. And so because they were mixed, they considered them unclean. And so the Jewish Pharisees, the religious leaders who had been the most oppressed people in history before, and the most oppressed people following this group, they were the ones who were the oppressor. And they were putting down Samaritans for something that they couldn't help. Guess what? None of us had a vote in the lineage of how we would be born. None of us got to pick we'd be white. Nobody gets to pick what nationality they will be. Not everybody gets to pick that they'd be born in Kentucky. There's just a few of us that were blessed with that. You just don't get to pick. Now, you can pick to go there. You go get your car and go to the promised land. I encourage you to just come back. You know, we just want you to be back here. So anyhow, look at how they say this. They say to Jesus, not only do you have a demon this time, but they are meaning to put him down with saying that he is a Samaritan, because they thought they were the lowest of lows. Now, by the way, this points out something. Racism, it's an issue in the heart of man. It is an issue that will never be solved. It will never be stopped. And it goes on and on around in a circle. You know, people of every race can be racist against others. So look here. He says, they say, "You are a Samaritan." Now, I love the way that Jesus responds to this. He says, "I do not have a demon." He didn't even say anything about, "I'm not a Samaritan." I just love that, because Jesus, he was God in the flesh, and you can see how his nature of being God gave him such wisdom. Because if he had said, "Now, I'm not a Samaritan and I don't have a demon," Well, how would that have come across? He would have lifted it up and made it become the issue that they wanted it to be. He just says, I don't have a demon. I love what Morgan Freeman, the actor, had to say. He was on CNN being interviewed by another black man. And the person doing the interview, you ought to go on YouTube and see this. He asked him, do you think that certain people of certain races have opportunities that perhaps we don't? And very quickly he said, no. He said, you and I are proof of it. If you want something, go after it. Go get it. Go work for it. And that is so true. And so we got this culture today, and it's of a bunch of people, regardless of race, who just want the government to give to them. That's not what the scripture would teach. When I worked at the prison, I learned very quickly that the thick skin that I had already acquired from being the pastor of a church for 12 years that just had one fire right after the other needed to get a little thicker. So I started this faith-based life principles program where 52 inmates could be housed in one unit, one pod. And it was like bunk beds. And so they could be in this pod if they agreed to go to the classes, if they agreed to a standard of conduct. They didn't have to be a Christian because we couldn't require them. But we could require them go to the Bible study classes and commit to some rules. You know, like don't kill each other and don't cuss each other. Don't get in fights with each other. You know, some basic things. And so one day the officer called and he said, Chap, he said, I need you to come here. Said one of your guys is cussing and yelling his wife, and I could hear it on the phone. You know, so the inmate was probably as far as here to the back door on the phone that they could use, and he was really screaming. So anyhow, I head down to the unit, and I stopped, and I got my assistant chaplain, who is a black man. I said, Henry, come on, I need you to go down here with me. So Henry and I went there. We got this guy, Melvin, to come into an office, and he was a black man. And I said, Melvin, I said, you can't act like this in this unit. I said, you committed that you will go by the rules. And besides that, it's just not Christ-like. So here's what he said. They say you are a prejudiced chaplain. So I said, they are right. I am prejudiced. But not against the color of your skin. I am prejudiced against stupidity. And I said, your behavior fits in that category of stupidity. I said, by the way, do you see my friend here? And I put my arm around Henry. He said, yeah, I know Mr. Davidson. He said, so I said to him, well, he's not Mr. Davidson to me. He's Henry to me. I go over to his house on Tuesday nights, I said, and we have Bible study together. His kids come up and hug on me, and I hug all of them. His wife and I were always just teasing each other. It's like, who's going to come up with the biggest joke on the other one? And I said, this is my friend, and he is my brother in Christ. And I said, it really offends me that you would say that I am prejudiced because of the color of skin. I mean, you had nothing to do with the color of your skin, and I have nothing to do with the color of my skin. So I said, Henry, you want to say anything to him? And then he tore into him. We never had a problem out of Melvin again. We just sometimes want to lift it up. And that's what our society does. Let's lift it all up when it's an issue that has always been. And what we need to do is get to the heart of man. How do we do that? It's Jesus. It's Jesus that they need. We're not going to do it with programs. We're not going to do it with laws. We're only going to do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you have the Pharisees. They mean to demean him by saying, you are a Samaritan and have a demon. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. There is assurance. We will never see death. Well, now, here's how the Pharisees go with that. They go, you got to be crazy. They say, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Well, he's already told them. In the passage that we looked at previously, he says, I am sent from God. I am God in the flesh. And so now they're just getting madder and madder. And they say, who are you? Jesus gave us assurance that we will never die. Now, we lose loved ones. And it's hard when we lose our loved ones. We grieve when we lose our loved ones. But when we know where they are, when, if we have that faith in Christ that they're in heaven, and we have that faith in Christ that we'll be there, that just changes everything. Listen, I talk to, I don't even know how many people in a year. It's up in 1,000 or a couple thousand that have lost loved ones. And 95% of them say, I find comfort in my faith and knowing that they're in heaven. You know, that just changes the whole perspective. And so Jesus gives assurance, if we keep his word, we'll never see death. And these Jews, these Pharisees, they're not getting it because they're thinking literal. He's not saying that you won't literally die. He's saying spiritually you will have eternal life. So Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. Now, again, it's like he's at this religious convention and he's telling the people who say that they believe in God, he's saying, you don't know God. And it's like, what? What? You're telling us we don't know God? We know God. He says, you don't know God, but I know him. And if I say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Then he's going to go for the Abraham card. He says, you're going to bring up Abraham? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? They're just ridiculing him through all of this. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The name of God, I am. When God told Moses, tell them I am sent you. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. That was his answer. And then we see their angered response. They took up stones to throw at him. Now, it doesn't say anyone threw a stone. I mean, if they wanted to, even if he slipped away at that point, they could be throwing their stones. It doesn't say anyone threw a stone. Again, Roman law had to approve a capital punishment. So maybe that was holding them back from it. But they picked up the stones. They were just so filled with anger, they picked it up, but they were restraining themselves. And then Jesus slipped away, went out of the temple. Going through the midst of them, he passed by. They had an angered response. As Christians, there will be times that we'll be accused. But we can hold on to the assurance that we have in Christ. And we can give our answer based on our relationship with Christ. It's the answer that he came to seek and to save all who are lost. Regardless of background, regardless of what we call race, regardless of any distinctives, all can come to know Christ. And then, what will your response be? What is your response to Jesus? You know, the other day, a friend of mine posted on Facebook, I don't know if you all seen the billboard that says, freedom from religion. Anybody seen that? Seen Hermitage, maybe some others around, freedom from religion. And, you know, first I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe that has a different meaning. So I went and looked up the website. And no, because see, I could see Jesus would have been saying, I'm going to free you from religion and bring you into a relationship with Jesus. Because he certainly made it clear there's a lot of religious people going to hell. A lot of religious people who don't know Jesus. And it wasn't that though. It was the other one. It was atheist group who wants to be free from religion. And their idea of freedom from religion is to make everything America free from religion. Actually, I wanted to answer my friend and say, huh, the devil must be slacking up because now he has to advertise. But obviously, he's not slacking up. Our world is just getting further and further from Christ. This is the answer to racism. This is the answer to hatred. This is the answer to our sinfulness and our brokenness and our lostness. It's only through Jesus that we find salvation. What is your response to Jesus? Kat is going to come and play a song because he lives. Y'all remain seated. And after she's done the verses and chorus, she's going to just ask y'all to stand at that time and sing it as an invitation time. This will be a great time for you just to meditate on what the Lord is saying to you right now. As we thank you. She can see you play. She's been hiding out from us. All right.